The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So as you may have just seen by the pop-up box, we are going to be recording the most of the portions of this day long. We will probably not record the Q&A, but all the guided meditations and the Dharma talks will be recorded. And I'm going to start us off with introductions. We're delighted you're here. My name is Dawn Neal, a longtime member of the IMC community. I've been a teacher for about 10 years and am delighted to welcome my friends, Jonathan and Marialyn, into the teaching room. And I don't know if I really want to say all that much more about my background, but if you want to see about it, you're welcome to look on the IMC website. And some of you know me quite well. So again, warm welcome to each of you. We're looking forward to being with you today. And Jonathan, please.
Hello and good morning, everyone. As you probably know by now, I'm Jonathan Woodside. I've been teaching since 2011, been a longtime practitioner, and just really happy to be here with you and looking forward to the day that we have planned out for you. And yeah, I kind of feel in the same regards as Don just mentioned. I think we'll just let the day unfold and, instead of going into long bios and that sort of thing. So I'll just leave it at that. But just really wonderful to see all your faces. So happy you are here. And I'll pass it along to Marialyn.
Yeah, I'm also delighted to be here. And also welcome from me. Looking forward to this day. My name is Marialyn. And bit of an unusual name. I'm from the Netherlands, but I live in the States now. I've been teaching since 2017, mostly in Dutch for a Dutch Sangha, and now since a while also for IMC. Yeah, very happy to be here and looking forward to this day on the four great efforts. We'll start with a short grounded meditation by Dawn.
So just to get a sense of who all is in the room, and I notice a lot of you guys don't have video, but if we could get a show of hands for anyone who is newer to meditation, maybe it's your first day long, maybe you don't have an established practice yet, if you could just raise your Zoom hand and then lower it again. That would help us have an understanding of who else here. Okay, special welcome, Kathleen. Thank you for letting us know. And anybody else who is new? Okay, great. And anyone who, for you, it's your first day long retreat or first retreat? Kathleen, yes. Great. All right. Okay, we've got a couple of others. Thank you. And once you're done telling us, please go ahead and lower your hand again so we don't think you're waiting with bated breath with a question. So the invitation is to settle back. Maybe make sure that there are no beeping, buzzing, chirping, or otherwise disturbing alerts on your computer or your phone or your watch. And give yourself permission to settle in for the day. I'm going to give a really brief overview for a moment or two here. So we are going to go until, let's see here, 12:30. at which point we will take lunch until about 1:45. And those numbers might wiggle just a tiny bit back and forth, but you can count on a little bit over an hour for lunch, probably an hour and 15 minutes. And the day is going to be sort of a combination of guided meditations, short little talks, Q&A, breakout rooms for those who want them, and further silence for those who don't. So for now, let's soften our eyes, settle into whatever posture, meditation posture makes most sense for you. It can be helpful to start by taking a couple of long, slow, deep breaths in as full as your lungs want to be, and out just a little longer, just exhaling, letting go of any excess tension. And then feeling in, attuning to the present moment. Noticing any sensations of warmth or cool, heaviness or lightness. Relaxation and ease, or perhaps still a little bubbly energy from whatever it took to get here. Maybe sweeping the attention through the whole body, acknowledging sensations that are there, and making the intention, the resolve, the adhisthana, to establish attention at the forefront, letting then and there go, and being in here and now. And settling into whatever object for your meditation is most useful for you. Perhaps finding the most obvious place where you notice the sensations of breathing. Could be at the belly or the abdomen. In the chest, the subtle sensations at the nostrils or top of the lip, and allowing the awareness and the breath to meet. Settling on the waves of the breath. We will stay like this for about another 6-7 minutes. The encouragement to dedicate the attention to the sensations, the received sense of this body. This breathing body. You find the attention wanders, allowing the attention to reemerge and welcoming awareness, mindfulness, back into the forefront. This breath, this moment. As we draw this short meditation to a close, the invitation is to feel the contact of your body against whatever surface you're on. Perhaps your feet on the floor or mat or cushion. Your seat against a chair. Or bench, or the support of the floor, and trusting yourself to the support of the vast earth beneath that. And hearing the invitation that all of you is welcome here in this practice. Thank you. Thank you all for your kind attention. And Maria Line is going to start us off on an opening talk here.
Yeah, thank you, Dawn. So as you're probably aware, we are going to explore what is called the four great efforts today. And the four great efforts are part of the Noble Eightfold Path. In the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha points out that the Noble Eightfold Path leads to the end of suffering, to freedom. If you've never heard of this, that's, you can also let all these words go, all these numbers. But there's a path that leads to freedom. And by taking little steps on each of the eight parts of this path, we'll start to experience more and more peace and happiness in our lives and less suffering. So each of these eight aspects of the path deserves its own day long, I think. So today we're going to focus on only one of the aspects, namely right effort. And right effort is the sixth step on this path. But we don't have to do them in order. We can do them whenever they arise for us in our practice. And the word right can sound a bit like there's a right and a wrong. But in reality, this is more about wisdom. Are we applying effort from a place of wisdom or a place of delusion or confusion? And this is a journey that might take many years or even our whole lives. This path is about growing and cultivating and learning. It's not about getting somewhere. So there's not really a right and a wrong or getting it right. It's about the journey of learning and cultivating wisdom, step by step. And in the suttas, the Buddha lays out what right effort is and how we can be wise in our effort to meditate and to live our lives. So he describes four ways that are right effort or wise effort. Four ways of exerting ourselves that are available in any situation all throughout our lives, not only in meditation. So even if we are doing the dishes or talking to a friend or attending a Dharma class on the four great efforts. So for now, I'd like to introduce them to you by reading the sutta text. And the text is a little bit flowery. So at the end, I'll kind of summarize it, what the Buddha is trying to say here. It's from the Samyutta Nikaya, the Vibhanga Sutta. And there the Buddha says, "And what, practitioners, is right effort? Here, practitioner generates desire for the non-arising of unarisen, evil, unwholesome states. One makes an effort, arouses energy, applies one's mind, and strives. One generates desire for the abandoning of arisen, evil, unwholesome states. One makes an effort, arouses energy, applies one's mind, and strives. One generates desire for the arising of unarisen, wholesome states. One makes an effort, arouses energy, applies one's mind, and strives. One generates desire for the maintenance of arisen wholesome states, for their non-decay, increase, expansion, and fulfillment by development. One makes an effort, arouses energy, applies one's mind, and strives. This is called right effort." End quote. So a translation, so to speak, of what the Buddha says here, or what the four great efforts are about, is that the first is we're going to make an effort so that unwholesome states that have not yet arisen won't arise. The second great effort is that we're making an effort so that unwholesome states that have arisen will be abandoned. The third great effort is to make an effort so that wholesome states that have not yet arisen will arise. And then the fourth is about making an effort so that wholesome states that have arisen will stay and increase. So when I first heard this description of these four ways to exert effort, I was super surprised because for some reason I had come to believe that insight meditation was all about passively observing whatever was happening without any interference. And here are these four instructions with some powerful language that encourage us to apply effort and not only to just sit back and passively observe and be okay with whatever comes at us. And hearing this was for me like getting like permission from the Buddha to be a bit more active when needed. And of course, the ability to be with experience as it arises, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, is very useful and is also very skillful. And it's a skill that I use every day. But I'm also glad that I learned how to apply this more active instruction that the Buddha gave and that we're going to talk today about and explore a bit deeper in further Dharma talks. So Jonathan is going to continue this introduction to the four great efforts.
Thank you, Margo. So a very important aspect of making effort is doing it in a skillful way. So an important part of making effort is making skillful effort. And so there's the Pali for this, the Pali terms are kusala and akusala, skillful and unskillfulness. So, you know, when we really look at how are we making skillful effort, I think it can be, are you making effort or are you being lazy? And sometimes that is something that we are not so good at seeing in our own practice. Sometimes we don't recognize when we are, you know, taking it a little too easy. Sometimes we don't recognize when we're over efforting and we're making mountains out of molehills, you know, assigning importance to things that really we could be a little more easeful with. And sometimes we get a little carried away with being too easeful. So that's an area where we can really bring some greater attention to and just kind of recognize, you know, in this realm of making effort, are we being wise? Are we being skillful? And I think one of the wonderful things about the four great efforts is it is very clarifying. We can get very scholarly with our practice. There's a lot of lists, a lot of instructions on how to go about things. And for me, making effort, really looking at the four great efforts, it helps simplify things. It really helps simplify things. I can just simply recognize, this mind state is unwholesome. Okay, now what? It's like, okay, I'm going to make some effort to abandon this unwholesome mind state. And then I'm going to make some effort to bring about, to arouse a wholesome mind state and to support that continuation of a wholesome mind state. That's very skillful. You know, and where do we begin? Where do we begin with this making of skillful effort? We begin with being mindful. That's how we prevent the unwholesome mind states from arising. Just simply being mindful. And I think one thing that I think many people have found kind of helpful is just this simple play on the word mindfulness. It's a mind full of awareness. So when the mind is full of awareness, we're really preventing those unwholesome mind states because there's no room for them. The mind is full of awareness. There's no room for the hindrances or the fetters to really take root. And so also a really important aspect of our skillful practice is, you know, in being mindful, we'll be able to recognize when these things are initially arising, where we really have a chance of taking some skillful action to abandon, to prevent, to protect the mind. If we are not present and aware, these sort of things can really build and eventually take some root. And then they're a lot more challenging to begin to work skillfully with. So if we're diligent, we can see these things as they start to arise. And so, again, the role that mindfulness plays is to see clearly what's actually happening. And then the skillful aspect, the discerning quality of mind that recognizes, oh, in this moment, there's some suffering. Well, what's taking place in the mind? What's being practiced in the mind? That's what I like about the four great efforts. It helps us just simply remember to look and see what is being practiced. And maybe that's not the place to begin. Maybe the place to begin is just looking overall, what's the behavior in this life like? What is your behavior? And then as you begin to address that, maybe introducing some sila, some skillful way of being related to following precepts, then you can begin to look a little more in detail at the mind and what it's actually doing, those mind states that are being practiced. So again, kusala and akusala, skillful and unskillful. And every moment we have this choice. We're making a choice in every moment. And to the degree that we are mindful, we'll recognize that. We'll recognize, what am I practicing in this moment? And does it lead to a happy destination? If it doesn't lead to a happy destination, let me abandon what's being practiced in the mind in this moment. And so I'll be talking a little more about this later in the day, but for now, I'll leave it at that. And I'm just going to pass it on to Dawn. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Marjolein. So as Jonathan was just naming, kusala, akusala, skillful, unskillful, wholesome, unwholesome, can really be a distillation, a way of looking at the whole path. Right. It's also possible to really look at effort itself and see whether effort is skillful or unskillful, whether it's balanced or nuanced. Nuanced effort is the effort called for in any particular meditation situation. So for many of us, gentle, relaxed persistence is often the most helpful. And for pretty much all of us, don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Pace yourself, okay? Many of us here in the West either habitually over-effort or become complacent. And this balance is key. Over time, wisdom will develop, or maybe it has developed for many of you. And we learn that with a light touch, we learn when that light touch is sufficient and when really strong effort is necessary. The Buddha talks about this in terms of tuning a lute to balance the effort. You don't want the strings too loose. You won't get any music. You don't want them too taut. The string will not create any meaningful sound or will become brittle. So usually a responsive, nuanced approach is more helpful. Many common translations of the Pali Discourse that Marjolein read from don't include this more discerning, gentle language. So I am going to bring in a little bit of a scholarly perspective to provide some alternates. Most often the language you'll hear is sort of practitioner efforts, drives, strives, exerts. It's really no pain, no gain kind of language, right? There are times, usually not that many, when really strong pulse of effort is called for. For example, if addictive impulses are coming up, that's a moment to really meet it. And perhaps to counteract resignation or complacency, it's good to step it up a little bit. But there are other forms of effort. And for those of us, and I was certainly one of them, who tended to overstrive, there's some alternate primary translations for the Pali language, scriptural language of ancient Buddhism, when that can kind of provide some alternates. The Pali is Samma Vayama. That rhymes, right? Samma Vayama. And in the title of this day long, we entitled it the Four Great Efforts. It could also be the Four Great Endeavors or Four Complete Efforts. I'd also like to highlight a secondary range or cluster of meanings around this. And these are not the primary definitions for these words, but they're kind of associated with it. They're implications of them. So the invitation is to close your eyes if they're not already closed and feel how these words sort of affect your mind, your heart, your body. Effort can also be to practice restraint, to take up, uphold, befriend, and great can also be completely, rightly, thoroughly, properly, to take up thoroughly, to practice restraint rightly, to support completely, to befriend, so these aren't the primary meanings, as I said, but they are other associated dimensions of the meaning. Kind of like great can mean wonderful or important, and great can also mean a lot, a bunch. In my own practice, my own heart mind, supporting, befriending, upholding have been really helpful attitudes to approaching practice, whether the heart and mind are in a skillful or wholesome state or not. Sayadaw Utejaniya says, when we put in effort to be mindful, most of the time we don't know how to avoid being forceful. If we want to have a more balanced effort, we should use wisdom to remind the mind to be mindful. Then it's less forceful. And this can be wisdom in your own heart and mind, or wisdom of the teachings that you hear or read. It all works. So this is an encouragement to be open, receptive, and allowing today in the midst of the perseverance and the practice of these great efforts. And to summarize our introduction, I'd like to offer a mnemonic that floated up in my mind in the last year or two on retreat. It's the acronym PACE, as in the pace of our steps on this path of practice of the Noble Eightfold Path. P is prevent unwholesome states from arising. A is abandon arisen unwholesome states. C, to cultivate unarisen wholesome beautiful states. And E is to extend those skillful states. extend existing wholesomeness. So, friends, keep an easy, steady pace, please, as we walk with you on this day, this path of practice. Thank you. And we're going to go in now to a guided meditation with Jonathan.
All right. Well, if you'd like to make some adjustments, stretch the legs, shift around. Buckle your seatbelts. And ultimately, making yourself very comfortable. And I invite you to go ahead and close the eyes. Maybe even beginning with a couple of deep breaths. And relaxing. Maybe even reminding yourself that there's nothing to do, nothing to make happen. The effort needed for this specific practice, here and now, that effort has already been made. We've taken our seats, closed our eyes. We're practicing stillness. We're practicing patience with the mind and the body. Just beginning to direct some attention inward. Feeling into the body. Aware of temperature. Aware of sensation. The play of gravity against the body as you sit. Aware of sound being known. The sound of my voice as it arises. Sounds in your environment. Just keeping the attention with sound being known. Just in that, there has been effort. Effort in the subtle direction of attention. There's the obvious sounds. Those that show up predominantly. And then there's the subtle sounds. What's it like noticing the subtlest sound? Notice if there's a tendency to lean out for the subtlest sound. See if you can just settle back and receive the sound. There's no need to venture out for it. You just settle back and receive. receiving sound, sound being known. What's the attitude like in the mind? It can be this quality of receptivity, allowing things to be. Just in the allowing, just in the mindful attention of sound. It's just the observation, sound being known. But even in this, there's effort. Perhaps very subtle, just an effort to be with the sounds, whatever they may be. Non-preferential observation of sound being known. Now just a simple shift of this attention, aware of sensation in the body. Sensation being known. In the same way that we listen for these sounds, we listen now to sensation. Feeling the sensation arising, changing, passing away. The expansion of the inhale, the contraction of the exhale. The coolness of sensation as we inhale through the nostrils. The warmth as we exhale. Just that subtle sensation of the breath coming and going at the nostrils. There's the ebb and flow of the belly, the rise and fall of the chest. Nothing to do, nothing to make happen. Just simply being. There can be a great ease. And yet, there is an effort. What is this effort? Very subtle effort in just meeting experience. The ever-changing flow of experience, sensation, sounds, thoughts, emotions. And with each experience that is known, what happens? You see that things change. So there's the seeing and the knowing of change. What's it like for the mind to be present? Right here, right now, seeing and knowing change. You may be able to feel into this moment and recognize a pleasant feeling tone in simply being present. You may notice the mind full of awareness. Relax. And so investigating into your experience, is there effort? And what's that like? Is it like the example given of an instrument? Is the effort too tight or too loose? Noticing what's predominant in the mind. Are there thoughts, emotions, memories, fantasies? Not to go looking for them, but just noticing if that is what's arising for you naturally due to conditions. Maybe it's just the mind, very aware, present and aware, very mindful. But if you do notice some experience or quality playing heavy on the mind, can there be the effort to abandon it? Again, it may be a very subtle effort of just a simple shift of attention. It may even be felt in the way like that the mind wanders and then the awareness returns, and we simply begin again. So it may just be the skillful recognition of a mind state that is unhelpful. The awareness returns and we begin again, directing the attention into this present moment. Or if there is some memory or fantasy that's playing heavy on the mind that is doesn't serve us, it does not serve us. Maybe we direct the quality of mindfulness to see more clearly that what's actually happening are thoughts arising and passing away. Nothing to get identified with, nothing to take personally, just thoughts. Nothing to take hold of. Nothing that provides any lasting satisfaction. Maybe pleasant, maybe unpleasant. But just thoughts changing from moment to moment. And beginning again. What's happening now? What's the effort like? Is it tight? Is it loose? What's the feeling tone of being present and aware? What's the quality like in the body? Is there tightness, or is the body relaxed? We can be skillful with the body in our practice, taking care, being mindful. We can be skillful with the mind, practicing patience, being mindful. No, so maybe we just arouse some wholesome state. Here we make a choice. Here we see clearly the relative truth. We make the choice to arouse gratitude. So much to be grateful for. I'm grateful for this community that we practice with here and now, everyone we are sharing this moment with. This collection of noble people. What excellent company. I'd be so grateful just for that. Such favorable circumstances. Grateful for the Dharma. Just as if we were filling a glass with water, we can fill our whole body and mind up with gratitude. Grateful for family and friends. Grateful for the measure of health that we've been given. Grateful for this human birth and this wonderful opportunity to practice the Dharma, to make effort. For our own liberation and the liberation of all beings. And to put it in a very contemporary way, we are so lucky. And just smiling into that. That's good. Practicing gratitude. A wonderful, wholesome state of mind.